In the name of Jesus, amen. You know, it was really fun to invite a bunch of guests into our home. And it was fun to tell them that we're a congregation of individuals and families that have been gathered together by the gospel. But I wonder, how many of them could have gone another step and become a part of us? You know, this can be a pretty scary place. I know pastors can be scary too. It's called the stained glass barrier. And for some of you who have been a part of this congregation for a long time, you can't see this. You don't understand this. But this is a hard place to be. Will you be accepted? Will you be allowed to join? You know, some people, they only join the pastor. They never join the congregation. And if the pastors knew, some of the old-timers never joined the next pastor. What can happen? Members can become cliques. You only talk with the ones you want to talk with. And how can we ever let him be a part of that group? And there can be kind of a good old boy system. Or as long as they do it our way, they can be a part of us, but we're not changing anything. And some people just want to go where they can be in charge. We call it tribal. And that's just the way it is. That's what people do. It comes natural to us. We're just really good at it. Having our little groups, having things our way, hurting people in certain ways so that it doesn't happen any other way. And that's why it's so hard for us to grasp how if anybody could do that, it would be God. Instead, what does he do? He gives us the gift of acceptance. He opens wide his arms and he embraces us in his love, saying, I love you, and you're mine. The gift of acceptance. You know, we're living through Advent, waiting for Christmas, journeying to Christmas. But long before we get there, there are gifts that we can give. And today, we can talk about giving the gift of acceptance and what that means and what God has done in his Son, accepting us into his arms. Fully and freely welcoming us through Jesus, so that no matter how we fall apart and fail, we know that someone will always accept us. No matter how we stray, no matter how far we get off the path that the Lord would want us to be on, we know there is someone who will always take us back in. And that's our Lord and Savior Jesus, who makes this fellowship possible. I mean, it's fascinating to think that he gathers together in the gospel. And it was fun telling those gathered last night and the night before that we're a congregation that's been gathered by the gospel to grow in faith, hope, and love. And it's in that continual gift of acceptance that God gives to us in Jesus that we learn what it means to be a fellowship. And it was really fun to see how the gift of acceptance was given by fellow members to members as we work through this. You know, that can be a hard gift to give sometimes. But did I say that right? That can be a hard gift to give sometimes. You know, our goal was, can we minister to each other as we go through this process? Can we give the gift of acceptance and care for each other? I mean, that can be hard to do. But giving the gift of acceptance is something that doesn't happen once in a blue moon. It's what fellowship is all about. It's what we continually do in encouraging each other, forgiving each other, praying for each other, loving each other. It's a gift that we can give whenever we need to give it, because we know how much we need to receive that from the Lord. You know, Paul expresses a powerful joy for the Philippians. Some have suggested that the Philippian church was his favorite church. I don't buy it. I mean, parents understand that the fatal mistake is to say, you're my favorite. Right? So I think Paul loved all the churches that he served and reached out to, even the ones he never had FaceTime, literal FaceTime with. But certainly, he used some powerful words in his letter to the church in Philippi. I'd like to invite you to open up your Pew Bible to page 980. And let's look at some of those. Page 980. And as you hear Paul's words, think about who really reflects these words, even more so than Paul. I want you to think about this as hearing the heart of God for you through the words of the Apostle Paul. So Paul says in chapter 1, verse 3, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul was so thankful that in hearing the gospel, they believed and they became a part of him, and he them. And even more so, that God became a part of them. And God became a part of them, and they became a part of God. I mean, how fascinating it is to think about how the gospel changes everything for us. You know, we want to have our own He-Men Woman Haters Club. We want to have our own this and that. We want to have our own cliques. And God brings us into His loving embrace. It's in the partnership of the gospel. Chances are, if it wasn't for the gospel, you and I wouldn't get along about things. We'd have our favorite things that would keep us apart from each other. Some of you like Fords. I do too. Some of you don't like Chevys. I like them. So it's fascinating how the gospel brings people together who otherwise wouldn't, and they're brought into a partnership. It was fun to see people working last night and the night before, even before that Thursday. It was fun to see the crew, Journey to Christmas crew, working through the details, hashing things out, figuring out new ways to do things. Got a lot of positive feedback. But it was just fun to see that partnership in play. For some of you not able to do it, you prayed for us. Thank you. It's amazing what the gospel does in drawing us together. The power of God at work. And Paul certainly was digging it. But understand that beyond and behind, in a way, Paul, we're hearing the very heart of God for us as well. Paul goes on to say, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, that's good news. It's nice to know that God does more than bringing us to salvation, then we have to figure it out the rest of the way. He brings us to salvation, and he's at work in you and me every day. And he will finish what he started in your life. In your story of the gospel, in the way that you care for and give the gift of acceptance to the people around you. And it's amazing how in that gift of acceptance, God embraces us, and then in his love, he changes us and grows us so that we want to follow closer and not get lost so often. But in truth, we still stumble, we still fall. And yet God is always there to embrace us and welcome us back, and will get accomplished what he started in your life, his story in your life. Paul goes on to say, it is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace. That's the gift right there that makes it all possible, God's grace in his Son. And then he talks about his imprisonment and the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. So he understands that even though he's imprisoned, he's still in partnership with them. Isn't that fascinating? His confidence in what God is doing? Even though he is physically separate with them, he knows that he's united with them. Oftentimes I say to people who aren't able to be here, you're with us in spirit. And I'm not just giving them a line. That's the truth. And that's the communion of saints that we confess in the Apostles' Creed, how we're connected by this grace of God in the gospel. Paul goes on to say, "For God is my witness how I yearn for you with the affection of Christ Jesus." It was fascinating. Going on vacation, I needed a vacation. You know, lots of, you know, sometimes you just need to stop. It's not like I didn't like you or anything. It's just that I needed to stop. And it was fascinating. On vacation, I found myself missing you. We, you know, Kate and I went to a church down in Copper's Cove and, you know, went to Prince of Peace here in Carrollton. But man, I missed you guys. It was so nice to see you again. Although I'd been praying for you, even though I was on vacation, pastors still pray for. But this is born of the gospel. This is the kind of gift of fellowship we have for each other. Born of God's grace. You know, it's fascinating to me how not only does Paul say, "I pray for you," but this is what I pray about. How many of you tell others how you're praying for them? I suggest you start. I know it sounds a little braggiose, right? Well, I don't, you know, I just want to tell them I'm praying for them. But I don't know. Paul's not afraid to tell them. I mean, look at what he says. He says, "And it is my prayer that you may, that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment." So, you know, love is about knowledge and discernment. It's understanding, you know, what the truths of the of our walk with the Lord are all about, what it means to live in relationship with God, what it means to live in relationship with each other. And so there's growing up that needs to be done. I know I need to grow up in love. How about you? So that I can understand and discern. How does Paul go on? So that you may approve what is excellent. You know, the Lord wants us to grow up in love so that we can understand what the excellent things are. What it means to live in fellowship with each other. What it means to be married. What it means to have a parenting relationship or a grandparenting relationship. Or what it means to have a friendship. And one that's truly in love. That has true knowledge to it. Not fake love and fake knowledge, but true knowledge. So that we may understand what these things are. Elders, I think this is what we need to pray for with regard to our congregation. And I hope they pray this for us. Leaders of the church, I hope this is what the membership prays for us, even as we pray for them. Because we're on a journey. We're on a journey, not just to Christmas. We're on a journey through our lives where God would have us share the message of His Son with the people that we encounter. And it's a partnership together. We're in this together. And some of us that get tired, others need to take up so that there can be some rest, so that others then can take up and learn, so that we can understand together how we are a partnership in the Lord. You know, I think for me, partnership took on a whole different meaning. At first, when my kids started to want to work with my projects, they want to start painting with me. And I started to think to myself, my goodness, it's going to take so much more time for me to do these things by involving my kids. I just don't know if I want to do it. But I fought the temptation to be a super achiever. And I started working with my kids, understanding how wonderful it is, because I started realizing that's the way I am with God. To think that God would partner with us, to think that God would choose to work through His people, His church on earth, to save the lives of those who are hopeless and feeling so helpless and hurting. But that's exactly what He has chosen to do, to work through you and me, to share the message of His Son as we journey together. to the shores of forever. May the Lord bless us as we do that. May we grow in love, in knowledge and discernment, so that we can understand the excellent things and share those gifts with each other in the gift of acceptance. In the name of Jesus.